Afternoon is case number 70738, Comstock Residents Association versus Lyon County Board of Commissioners. John Marshall for, as counsel for appellant, Stephen Rye, the counsel for respondent. Mr. Marshall.
May it please the court, my name is John Marshall. I'm here with Luke Busby, representing the Comstock Residents Association and Joe McCarthy. I'd like to say 5 minutes for rebuttal, please. Lyon County officials and employees conduct county business on their personal electronic devices and accounts. In fact, county commissioners listed their personal cell phones and email addresses on the county's website as their official point of contact for the public. Now, county officials and employees also use devices and accounts that are provided by the county. In response to Appellant Comstock Residents Association's Public Records Act request, of all the communications with the land use applicant, the county did not distinguish these records by their content. Rather, Lyon County determined categorically that records or accounts from devices provided by the central administration would be produced, but the identical records that happened to be located on the official's or employee's personal device or account would not be provided. In this appeal, appellants request that the court finds that the official county businesses are public records, regardless of whether they are located on county-controlled servers or whether they are on official and employees' personal devices and accounts.
Just a query: should that request have included the public official, since it's their device? The device is not the county, as you're posing.
We believe you did. We did, Your Honor. We sent the request to to the county commissioners, care of the county.
In their personal capacity, it's their private unit. I understand
Yes. The
other part, but it's their private unit. The unit doesn't belong to the county.
The Public Records Act does not apply to private individuals. It applies to public officials and public entities. So we did not request their private documents. At no time have we asked them to provide any sort of private communication or documentation that is not conducted in their official capacity. The reason why we are here is that they use their phone not just for their private conversations and texting and emailing, but for their public responsibilities as well. So the question that this case presents to the court is there a difference between a record that is created in the course of official duties that would otherwise inarguably be public, is suddenly not public because the public official chooses to communicate or create or receive the document on a private personal device?
Mr. Marshall, and I realize that's the question posed to us to answer, but could you have requested these records either under Rule 34, request for production, or Rule 45 through subpoenas to the non-party that you were seeking to obtain the records from? Does it have to be made through a public record request?
I think those are all alternative ways of achieving evidence or records, but it is not, I don't think this court has ever held that You cannot pursue records because you have an alternative method of obtaining them. In fact, while the litigation before you now is just over this specific public records request.
Right. I guess my concern is similar to what Justice Douglas stated, that we have the case involves the Comstock Residents Association and the Lyon County Board of Commissioners as an entity. It's not against the individual commissioners. They're not named as parties here. So therefore, under our rules of civil procedure, I know you have Rule 45 available through depositions. If they're relevant documents, you can get them that way, whether they're on their personal phones or not, and the same under Rule 34 for parties, like that. So are there other ways to get this information, I guess is my concern.
Well, in response, Your Honor, I think what you're asking them individuals to do, just thinking beyond this case, is if they are seeking public records that are held by an individual, a commissioner or an individual employee, which let's be fundamentally clear, that's how government entities work, through the individuals either employed or officials, that they would then have to do some other kind of discovery to achieve those public records simply because they're on another device rather than on the county servers.
So your argument is that the records, as if you will, belong to the county, and regardless of what device they're sitting on. So a records request made to the county would require the county to go get its records.
Yes, but I would expand that a little to say that the Public Records Act defines a government entity as not only the official entity, county, or in this case, political subdivision, but its officials as well. So it is the legislature has already made the determination that this device, this Public Records Act request, applies directly to individual officials. And I think in the pleadings or in the briefs, that point is not contested by the county. They say it applies to their individuals, applies to their employees, and applies to the county as a county. So I think in answer to your question, Your Honor, it is within the reach of the Public Records Act itself that applies to individual commissioners. That's how an entity is defined.
I guess my question was inartful. If the county receives a Public Records Act request, it should go to wherever those records are located to appropriately fulfill the request.
Correct.
Whether that's the file cabinet sitting behind the clerk's office or public records that may sit on someone's device.
Correct. Or sit in someone's, that happens to be a public record, that sits in their file cabinet at home. I mean, realistically, although this is new technology, the issue is not a new issue. It's a whether or not when you take a document out of a public space and put it in a private space, does it lose its character as a public record? And our answer to that is no, it does not, simply because it is within some device controlled and that which the public officials have access to.
So the county commissioner takes notes of a telephone conversation they have and puts those notes in their file cabinet at their home office. Is that record, are those notes county record, public records, or their own private records?
If we assume that it is, that the notes were taken in the course of their official duties, and it is regarding a matter of public, we meet the blackjack bonding kind of test of is it a public record, then yes, we would say it is. Now, there may be individual privileges or reasons why the county may withhold that document, but that's a secondary inquiry.
Were any of those privileges or exceptions to the Open Records Act asserted in response to the request here, other than the device argument?
No. If you will take, and I think the best citation to that is at Joint Appendix 152, which is the redaction law that specifies all of the documents that they withheld. They withheld, I think, maybe 10, under 10 documents. They were all listed, you know, in a typical redaction law, or it's not a redaction law, but it's actually a, you know, bond index or whatever you want to call it, but it is a, it was only attorney-client communications between counsel and the county or its officials. That's all they identified in terms of any sort of particularized application of privilege or privacy. So they were relying on a categorical, non-particularized legal construct here that says if it happens to be here and not here, it's not within the reach of the Public Records Act. And obviously we think that is a gross error, and we would urge the court to reverse the district court, just like the Supreme Courts in California, in Vermont, in Washington, the DC Circuit, Court of Appeals under FOIA have all held in this exact same context that just because they happen to be in a location on a personal device controlled by the individual does not render it absent from public records.
I have a question for you on that. Our statute is articulated in terms of that all public books and records must be open at all times during office hours to inspection by any person, etc. That's 239.010. And that's the fundamental sort of definitional fountainhead of this act. Do the acts in the other states and the FOIA that you're relying on have different language that has been modernized in order to address things like handheld telephones that, you know, they're private and they may have some government records on them, but they're nonetheless mainly private? The logistics of inspecting that are challenging to adapt our statute to this environment. And I'm wondering if this is partly a legislative problem that our statute has not been updated as they have been elsewhere.
I think the case most directly on point is the California case, the City of San Jose case that we cited in our papers. In that case, there was, that's exactly what the Court of Appeals said. It's not addressed in the statute. And so therefore, legislature, we're going to kick it to you. You need to address this policy question. And the Supreme Court, California Supreme Court, said unanimously, no. And I think the same thing can be said about this statute. The legislature has already spoken. You know, we have seen over time increasing or a development of technology. We've gone from paper and pens, we've gone to typewriters, we've gone to computers, we've gone to emails. And if you say that each time there's some sort of technological advance, that you then have to go to the legislature, I think you will you'll hamstring the operation of this act. And in particular,
you're not arguing that people have the right to inspect the commissioner's cell phones.
No, I don't think we have the right to inspect
them. You're saying you should adapt this act to print copies or email copies or some other.
I think it's the mechanics of the act are the same for all these different technologies. You wouldn't allow someone to abscond with a public record, a box of public documents, put them in their home file and say, sorry, they're in my home file, that's private, you can't access them. Or someone taking in their own private typewriter, portable typewriter, typing out a memo, ripping it out of the roller at work, walking home, putting it in their cabinet at home and say that's private because I produced it on my privately supplied typewriter and I'm storing it at home in my privately supplied file cabinet. Now I see I only have a minute or so left, so I think I will conclude with that. Just to say that I'll be back. Thank you very much.
Mr. Wright.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Stephen Rye on behalf of the Board of Lyon County Commissioners. Lyon County provided thousands of pages of documents in response to this public records request. Why are we here? Because this request goes far beyond public records. And what the Board of County Commissioners asks is that you affirm Judge Kosat's decision, well-reasoned and not an abuse of discretion. He considered all the arguments presented by Comstock residents and reached the proper decision. First, I would ask you to look at the request in this case. And the request is that you provide all documents, communications between all county employees, county commissioners, elected officials, and Comstock Mining, Inc. between 2010 and 2014. So the request goes not only to elected officials, but also to all employees. And then the request is expanded to include all communications on public and private devices. So all employees, emails, cell phones, text messages, it's not limited to documents or public records that are related to acts as employees or public officials. That can be implied, but that is not what the request was.
Are you saying then that if they had made a request that said, please provide all of the communications between the people that you've listed that relate to the subject matter of this dispute, you would have provided it?
No, because I think that it gets into other issues. But I bring that request to the court's attention because it's important, I think, when you examine the practical realities of public records request in the modern technology age. It changes, as Judge Kosat talked about during the hearing in this case. You know, was the request limited? How do you respond to that? And how do you deal with it? And it was never narrowed. And so that is part of the reason the judge reached the decision that the legislature should decide these issues, not the courts, because they are much broader than just a simple request for a certain record that is identified, such as a letter that's taken home.
Common for the government to respond to a public records request and ask that the records request be narrowed. Did you do that?
We responded to the request, and then it was broadened, actually. And that's in the record.
So did you make a request of the judge to narrow the request, that you would produce information relating to this dispute if it were narrowed?
No, there was no response to the judge in that fashion.
So are you suggesting that the rule is, in response to a Public Records Act request, that it is in the view of the government overbroad, they can simply not respond or choose not to produce?
Not at all. The response from the board in this particular case in the county was that these were not public records for a variety of reasons, some of which have already been discussed. First, they're not open to inspection. And we would argue under the Public Records Act that is a requirement and a fundamental tenet of the statute. It is true, as pointed out in Comstock's opening brief and reply brief, that there is time to respond to a request for public records. So it doesn't mean you can necessarily walk into a county building or office and say, I need to see these records immediately. There is time to respond. But it does contemplate open to inspection. And as the courts pointed out, if it's in somebody's house or it's on somebody's server that is not even controlled by that person, or on somebody's phone company that's not even controlled by that person, is it open to inspection? The Board of County Commissioners would contend that you have to read that provision out of the statute in order to apply it to this public records request.
Statute that way, doesn't that provide a way for public officials to subvert the Public Records Act by putting all of their records on personal devices?
Well, first of all, public officials...
That?
Public officials, I think, are presumed to act reasonably. But it does... There is that possibility. It does allow public officials to...
Don't you think that if we published an opinion that said that if the device isn't open for inspection within 5 days after request, it's not a public record, that most of the public officials in this state would say, voila, let's all get private devices and put all our stuff on it.
I don't believe that's what would be said. And no. I think there are exceptions to that, of course.
Doesn't there have to be some sort of standard, Mr. Rye? I mean, I hate to look at history. We had Hillary Clinton emails with her private server, private house, doing her official business to the Secretary of State. They disappeared or whatever. I mean, what is this type of situation here where public officials like Justice Hargis say can avoid the law by just putting it on a private phone? How should we set forth a rule? How would you write this opinion if you were us, you know, like that, to have a fair decision in this case? How would you phrase it?
The suggestion would be that the court adopt a reasonable standard of what a public record is.
Okay.
So that it would not include necessarily every text message, every email, every communication. Because what has happened is it seems like we're changing the public records to reflect the medium, not actually what's communicated. And it's already been mentioned, if you make a telephone call to a constituent and you take notes, is that a public record? Arguably it's not. This court has never so held. Yet now, because we use a cell phone and we do a text message, it is a public record. And we see that in Gibbons and some other cases where this court has said that text messages and emails are public records. Those are all cases where they were on public servers and public accounts, none of which were on private accounts.
How are other jurisdictions dealing with this? Is there model legislation that tries to make a dividing line similar to what Justice Gibbons is trying to address?
I'm not familiar with any legislation that makes that dividing line. The way some other courts have dealt with it is to outline procedures. And some of the cases cited in the moving papers, the City of San Jose case, the California Supreme Court listed some options that agencies could do to kind of collect those records in a manner that didn't invade privacy and respected the private use of cellular devices and that sort of thing. In Washington, the Washington Supreme Court in the Nissen case outlined similar procedures. The problem with those procedures and why it's problematic for the court to implement those rather than the legislature is that it doesn't allow for any certainty for public officials on what should be done. For instance, they suggest that in a public record search such as this, the California Supreme Court would say it's adequate if you ask every employee to submit an affidavit saying they've searched their private records and they don't have anything that meets the request, provided that those employees are all trained. That is an unworkable solution, it seems, because how do you know that all the employees are trained? They're not all going to be trained on public records. And what you're stuck with is a situation where the county has to conduct that search in some fashion that protects the individual and also protects the public's right to know. And there's no easy way to do that. You see that in the Vermont Supreme Court case where they hired a third-party consultant to do the search. They recovered 13,000 emails or documents. They search those and decide which are public records. And that's the inevitable rule if we allow a search of private accounts, private emails, and private text messages. The other issue why this isn't a public record is it's not in the custody or control of the county necessarily. And the reason for that is these servers, it's not such as the Hillary Clinton where they have a private email server, that certainly is in her control. But most average employees and elected officials use Gmail and Yahoo and these other things that are third-party vendors. Their cell phones are handled by phone companies. And so you have the difficult position of what happens if those records are deleted. How do you deal with that issue? When it's a county or a public server or email, obviously that's corrected because the state IT department or the county IT department can retrieve all those deleted documents and public records. You can't do the same thing in these kinds of requests. So it turns really on these third-party providers and other things which That's not what the statute contemplates either. It needs to be in the custody or the control of the county, in this case, the elected officials' employees, and it's just not in the custody or control of the county. The next point is a unique thing about the Nevada Public Records Act is it does not include a definition of public records per se. And this court in its previous decisions has relied on a number of things to determine what is a public record and what should be covered under this. As I mentioned earlier, no case has ever said that documents and things on a public server or a private account or a private cell phone are public records. If you look back to some cases, the dissent in Donry, the justice there defined what a public record is. And a public record, he said at that time, a public record, strictly speaking, is one made by a public officer in pursuance of a duty, the immediate purpose of which is to disseminate information to the public or to serve as a memorial of official transactions for public reference. It doesn't depend on just the fact that a public official makes a communication. That does not make it a public record. Or that the document's kept necessarily by a public person. That doesn't make it a public record. This court has looked at things like the Nevada Administrative Code for definitions of public records. And important in this case, in 2014, when the request was made, the Administrative Code did define a public record, and it defined it as a record of a local government entity that is created, received, or kept in the performance of a duty and paid for with public money. It's undisputed in this case that the private cell phones and private accounts of the employees and county commissioners were not paid for by Lyon County. And consistent with it was an unpublished disposition, but this court relied on that same NAC in a case it decided, Nevada Public Research Institute versus Clark County, where in that case, the school district had created a list, an email list of teachers, and the school district argued that it was not a public record, wasn't necessary for the performance of the duties, and this court said, yes, it was a public record, and relied on the fact that it was created and paid for by the school district.
Mr. Ryan, would you say then if the government pays for the cell phone, then 100% of what's on there is public? What would the standard be? The difference between a publicly paid cell phone versus a privately, somebody paying in person, how would you define the difference?
The difference would be that the public then, I believe, has more control. The entity has more control over that phone. And if you know that the public is paying for it, they can do things like access that phone. They would be able to retrieve the phone. It's really county property as opposed to a private person's property. So for that reason, the county would think it is a different standard.
Okay.
If the public does pay for it.
Is there any evidence of agreements between the employee and the county who might be using a private email account but on public equipment? Or was that captured in your response to this records request? Do you follow the question?
If you could just repeat the first part of the question.
Some employers, public employers, have agreements with employees that say when you're using your private email account on your computer at work, what you send or receive is subject to our inspection. It's open. You can't have inappropriate exchanges on a private email account that you're using public equipment for. My question to you, and it's not a huge one, was just in this case, how would that category of exchange have been handled? Private email account, Gmail, something like that, but using Lyon County computer equipment to transmit it.
That would have been subject to the request. That
was okay, so you produced all those if they were responsive?
If they were
responsive.
If they were produced.
Yes, okay.
Yes, and that was not an issue that was raised in the case.
Counsel, with respect to your argument about the application of the NAC, it has, of course, been repealed.
It has.
Additionally, nothing in the Records Act itself makes the determination of a public record dependent upon who pays for it. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
And in Las Vegas Metropolitan Police, an opinion by this court, it added about the same time as the existence of the regulation, this court said in footnote 3 that we would decline to address the application of the regulation in that context. Isn't that true?
That is true. It was a different context, I believe, in the Las Vegas Metropolitan case, in that there was a third-party contract, and the contractor obviously received revenue from that, but the county contracted directly with that provider. We would argue that that case is distinguishable because of that difference. There was a contract between the provider and Las Vegas, which allowed them to access those records. There's no similar provision, no similar contract between the Lyon County and the elected officials and employees where the records were sought on these private devices.
So is it the case, as counsel represents, that on the website for the county, the individual or personal device numbers and email listings are listed as their contact information?
At the time this case was filed, it was. That was accurate.
Let's assume for the moment that a county commissioner during that time engages in an email exchange with a citizen on that device. You're suggesting that the rule is that that email exchange is not a public record?
Yes, because that just because there's an email exchange does not make it a public record. It doesn't mean that it's related to necessarily the business of the county or that it's in the custody or control of the county. And for
well,
that reason,
decide,
it takes it outside the ambit.
The question is, within that scenario, who should decide? Is it left to that official or employee, or is it something the court would have to review in camera to make a decision? Almost like a privilege claim.
What other courts have done is what you're talking about with a privilege log, where they would look at the individual record, and even this court has suggested that in Gibbons, that the lower court should look at individual documents or emails or text messages and decide on a case-by-case basis whether or not it's a public record. The problem with that is how do you get to that point?
Well, it's not so much a problem. If the actor is conducting, and that's the centerpiece, their duty, their elected duty or their paid duty, is it a public function?
It may be a public function, but that does not mean it's a public record. And the way the Nevada Public Records Act is written, it does not say that that is a public record. The fact that an employee communicates with somebody just by itself does not mean it's a public record. If you look at other acts, California, for instance, Washington, it does talk about the creation, use, retention. There are a number of things that go to defining the public record. In Nevada, that does not exist. That is part of the reason Judge Kozak said, let the legislature address these issues so that it is clear and there's certainty for public officials and employees on what they should deem a public record. Public records, part of that is retention as well.
Please wrap up.
Okay. In conclusion, we believe that Judge Kozak made the right decision. We would ask if you affirm that decision. If you decide otherwise, the proper remedy would be to remand this case to the district court to allow further examination of the actual emails in question and text messages or whatever documents those are. In this case, procedurally, it never got to that point. The county did not conduct or attempt to conduct a search of all employees or elected officials' emails or text messages. Thank you.
Marshall, you left out 4 minutes. I'm a clock watcher.
Thank you, Your Honors. Initially, Justice Pickering, your question, I think, I'm hopeful the counsel didn't quite understand it, but there were no records produced in those circumstances that somebody was using an office computer, but on a separate non-governmental server. That was not produced. The only records we have are what came through the county administration servers. So that was, so that they would, in...
So that's another category that's in play here, arguably.
Yes. That's personal accounts. That's under the, you know, their personal email account that they did not produce.
Mr. Marshall? I'm sorry. How broadly would you define public record? Is it let's say as it relates to a cell phone. Every transitory text conversation about a meeting, if a constituent unsolicited sends you a text now, have they created a public record on your personal phone? How broad is my call log on my cell phone? So people call me now, suddenly your call log is that? How broadly are you going to define public record?
I think public record, as in the Blackjack Bonding case, is records that are... First of all, they're produced by a public entity or individuals acting in their official capacities or in their legal capacities that relate to a matter of the public's business. And I think I watched the oral argument of the California Supreme Court, and they had just an array of questions and different scenarios about, well, what happens if someone says, I really hate my boss. Is that about work? It relates to, you know, it says your boss, but it's really not a public record. It's not a matter of public interest, how this one particular employee. But that decision, I think, is, and a lot of the justices have expressed, how do you implement something like this? If you, what we think is the appropriate thing to, you know, to say, hey, the Public Record Act is broadly written and it applies to communication that fits all those criteria, whether it's on a public server or a private server, public phone or private phone. What you are then talking about is the relationship at heart between the local jurisdiction or the government entity and their employers and their public officials. And the Public Records Act actually talks about that a little bit in terms of document management. And there's a requirement that each local government, like Lyon County, have a document retention policy in place. And fundamentally, what we're talking about is not the application of the law in terms of how it, you know, should it reach this document, but how it should be implemented, given that people are making a voluntary choice to exercise their public duties on a private phone. They don't have to do that. But as a matter of course, and I'd like to read, this is out of the county manager's declaration at JA 155. County staff, including employees and officials, in addition to county commissioners, often use their private cell phones for county business. So we have a situation where they are affirmatively choosing to move communication out of the public realm and into what they consider to be a private realm. That should not allow, I don't think the NPRA should be interpreted to allow that, as that is directly contrary to not only the stated purpose, but also all the ways in which the legislature has said that the legislation should be interpreted broadly. Thank you very much.
Chief, if I may, sure. That just kind of begs the question for me as to who makes that determination as to whether or not the document is a public document or if it's privileged in some way. Do you use a privilege log, and does that go before the court to make that determination?
In that instance, I think the first instance, it's between the local government or the State Department and the county official, or whoever the request is coming to. So if you get a request in that says, like ours, you know, give us your communications regarding this application, we can talk about the reach of that, but then it becomes an exercise between the local government that has to produce those records and their officials and employees how to implement that. Now, if cell phones have been used, private cell phones have been used to conduct public business, then, you know, there's lots of things you can do in anticipation.
The local entity to make that determination as to whether or not it really related to business activity.
In conjunction with the official whose phone it is. They have, they're a necessary part of that interaction. That's how, for example, in my other capacity, I'm general counsel to the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. We basically instruct our officials to say, if you're going to use a private email account, make it one that is, it's separate from all other accounts that you have, and make it, that's the only one you use for TRPA business. So when you get a Public Records Act request that says, I want to see all your public records, you go to that email account, provide all those emails, together with a statement that I don't use any others, just that one. So there's ways you can segregate, there's ways you can manage this issue if you make the voluntary choice to move off-site, to move to another device that is not directly controlled by the...
All right, thank you. Okay, you answered my question.
Thank you, Mr. Marshall, Mr. Rod, for your arguments in briefing this matter of these unique issues. This matter will stand submitted. We're in recess to the call of the court.